Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson? Mr. Hicks?
Present.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Honigman?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I will now go over the remote and in-person meeting rules for the day. For the members of the public who are joining us remotely, to observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov. Under the calendar heading, click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for May 25th, 2022. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, if you wish to speak, you can also now raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or to have sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would like to ask that all remote members turn on their cameras if they are able to do so. Members of the public who have joined the meeting in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment, and you will be called to the front of the room to speak. Committee members who are attending in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment and speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. If you are viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Any changes, Chris?
There are no changes to the agenda.
Great, then we will deem the agenda approved as posted. Next item is approval of minutes. This is agenda item number 2. We have one set of minutes from April 27th, 2022. You'll find them on page 9 of your packet if you're a governing board member. Does any member of the committee wish to make any changes?
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes from the April 27th, 2022 meeting as presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item in the agenda, which is agenda item number 3, is a recommendation to approve the April financials. Information on this item can be found on page 81 of your governing board packet. Chris?
For the record, Chris Kyler, finance director for the agency. If I could have the first chart, please. We pretty much met our budgeted fee revenue for the year already with 2 months left to go. So this is an indication of the high volume of activity that the current planning division is facing. It will also drive our assumptions for next year's budget, which we'll be talking about later today. There is some seasonality in the shoreline fees and the EIS fees based on the timing of the boating season and things like that. But we're in pretty good shape across the board on fees. On the expenditure side, we still struggle to fill our data analyst position. We do have several other positions that are open right now, mostly new positions that we're filling for the first time. We are recruiting for that. And Angela's with us if you have any questions. We are behind in some of our general fund contracting activities, and we'll talk about that at the end when we talk about budget for next year. But the high volume in current planning means we're doing a lot more outsourced support, too, for the current planning department, and we will exceed the current planning contracts budget, although I think our overall contracts budget will probably come in under. If I could have the next slide, please. This is a different cut of the same data that basically just shows performance against budget. It is normal at this point in the year to have a surplus because we receive that state money up front and then spend it down during the course of the year. If I could have the next chart. Cash flow remains strong because of the planning fee influx. You can kind of see we normally have that long decline over the end of the year, and it kind of all got shifted out to the right a little bit because of the higher level of planning fees. That doesn't mean we'll necessarily end the year with a substantial balance, but we will be paying a lot of bills in July and August that really relate to this year. And then finally, if I could have the next chart, please. This is the balance sheet. As you can see, we're very, very strong. The net assets basically didn't change this month. We had a bunch of changes to both assets and liabilities that at the end of the day offset each other. And that concludes my presentation, unless anybody has any questions.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much. That was short and sweet. Any member of the committee have any questions for Chris regarding the financials?
Madam Chair, this is Barbara Sagaski. And when you're ready for an approval of this, I just want to make sure that we've got the 10 months and 83% of the year and the year of 2022 instead of 2021, which is printed on here. Just want to make sure that that's corrected. So if you want to...
The date of the committee meeting, May 25th, 2022?
Yes.
Yes.
It's on page 81.
81.
It should be 10 months, and then it should be 2022.
My apologies, it's just a typo. Yes.
Yes. No, I know. I did. We just wanted to make sure that we're voting on the correct. Yeah, on this year.
I just hope the typo hasn't been there all year long. It uses the same
no, I know. I know.
Actually, fortunately, the motion is written that way. April of 2020
yes.
Financial statements. Yep. Thank you, Barbara, for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll move for it.
Okay, seeing no further comments by members of the committee, we have a motion to recommend approval of the April financials. Maria, will you please call the roll? Oh, let's take public comment. I apologize. I'm ahead of myself. So let's go to public comment of this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking raise hand button on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any members of the public in person wishing to comment on this item? I don't see anyone at the podium. Any member who is joining us virtually, is there anyone interested in commenting on this item? I don't see any raised hands, so we will go ahead and close public comment. There are no further comments by the committee. We have a motion to approve to the governing board, to recommend approval to the governing board of the April financials. Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Thank you. And good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us.
Sorry I was late.
Oh, that's okay. I suspect you're probably caught in construction traffic.
I was. Thank you.
That time of year. Okay. We'll now move on to agenda item number 4, which is a recommendation to approve the FY23 Lake Tahoe Transportation Planning Overall Work Program. This information can be found on page 159 of the governing board packet. And is Michelle here to present?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning, yes.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Michelle Glickert, I am the principal transportation planner for TRPA. Today, I am seeking your recommendation of approval of the final fiscal year 2023 Transportation Planning Overall Work Program to the Tahoe Metropolitan Planning Organization. That was a full sentence, mouthful. I should probably turn off those notifications. The draft overall, next slide, please. The draft overall work program, also referred to as our OWP, was released on March 22nd for the required 30-day comment period. During that time, we presented to the Tahoe Transportation Commission and shortly after worked with our funding partners, Caltrans and NDOT, to refine our budget estimates. And then we worked through comments received from the public. Steve Teixeira of the South Shore TMA, he is the board chair and also principal for Sustainable Community Advocates. We always appreciate his time and review of the OWP. Earlier this month, the Tahoe Transportation Commission unanimously recommended approval to the TMPO. As noted in the staff report, all red line changes are also posted on our website, TRPA Transportation Work Program homepage. Next slide. So just a little background before I begin and walk you through the elements of the proposed work plan for next fiscal year. The overall work program defines the continuing comprehensive and coordinated regional transportation planning process for Lake Tahoe. It establishes transportation and air quality and other regional planning objectives and associated funding for fiscal years 22-23. The OWP also serves as a management tool for the TRPA, serving as the Tahoe Metropolitan Planning Organization, the TMPO. Through the identification of these work elements, they contain detailed tasks and products to be provided during the year. It also includes federal and state mandated transportation planning requirements and other regional transportation planning activities. Next slide. So as I walk you through each of the work elements, please note the budget totals shown do include staff time, plus benefits and direct costs for future contracts and purchases. Fiscal year 22-23 budget did increase just slightly over our current budget on an average of about 4%. The draft budget contains 5 full-time staff, myself, 2 seniors, and 2 associates. We do have a few vacancies right now that we're trying to fill. We also incorporate a few other part-time from TRPA Long Range, Research and Analysis, and the Communications Division to help us deliver all of the requirements as the MPO. Work Element 101 is dedicated to administration of the program, staff development, and essentially building the program each year. This includes quarterly progress reports that we submit to each DOT and the FHWA. That's the Federal Highways Administration. Transportation Development Act is a major source of regional transit operating funds from California. This work element is dedicated for staff to complete administration and management of the TDA funding, which entails working with each transit agency to conduct unmet transit needs outreach and then report. It also is about monitoring productivity and efficiency of transit. This element includes contract funds for a TDA financial audit. It's part of the regular annual operations. Public outreach and collaboration with our partners, Work Element 103, is really key to our success. This includes some things like e-newsletters and social media, but it also includes TMPO and the Tahoe Transportation Commission support, tribal government consultations, staff professional development, environmental justice activities. These activities all support a transparent, educational, and effective regional transportation planning process as the TMPO. The element includes funding support for our transportation management associations. They continue to be an extension of the transportation program. They're working continually with our local employers and recreation providers. They've been instrumental in the Commute Tahoe program, and we've extended their contract with the 2 TMAs, that's one on the north and the south shore, this past year, and we foresee working with them to see how we can increase our support. Next slide. Work Element 104 is a variety of transportation planning activities that support development and maintenance of the regional transportation policy, all of our regional transportation policy documents, including the regional transportation plan, active transportation plan, and new transportation equity plan. This element is the most robust in our program, hence the slide with a lot of text on it. It includes safety planning, transit planning, that includes staff support and money for passenger surveys, as well as funding a funding contribution to the development of the short-range transit plan that the Tahoe Transportation District is doing currently. This also includes other travel mode planning activities to implement regional transportation policy. This fiscal year, we will have a final active transportation plan that will include connections to our dirt trails, supporting updates to the short-range transit plan I mentioned and transit analysis, pilot projects for transit, and congestion management in our corridors, regional park and ride development, and public-private partnerships providing microtransit. Additionally, staff will continue to be key members for the US 50 East Corridor Plan, SR 89 Trail Feasibility Study, and the Washoe County Tahoe Transportation Plan, as well as the city's Airport Master Plan Study. Working from the very informative Commute Tahoe pilot, we're going to build out a regional transportation demand management program with our partner TMAs, as I mentioned, our local employers, and on the North and South Shores. Work Element 105 includes regional transportation data collection and modeling efforts to support transportation data needs of staff, our partner agencies, and the general public. Maintaining Lake Tahoe info transportation data is included here. Various transportation data sets to address TRPA federal and state requirements, including rethinking data collection. This element includes bike ped transit data monitoring and model infrastructure updates as well. Next slide. Work Element 106 Project tracking and financial management includes maintenance of our 2021 Federal Transportation Improvement Program and 2022 Regional Transportation Implementation Plan, adoption of the Next Step TIP for 2023, participation on regional planning working groups, federal program working groups, grant programs, et cetera. Element 107, performance-based planning includes continuing to build out the performance management process, our data-driven decision-making. This relates to programming of funds for projects, project selection and sequencing, and policy development. This element includes building out an adaptive management planning framework and transportation report as part of new policies adopted with the last regional transportation plan. The transportation performance report will be developed in conjunction with the Tahoe Transportation Implementation Committee. This element includes supporting also federal performance measure goals for improving safety and preserving the transportation system. Next slide. And lastly, work element 108, sustainable communities planning funding. This is funded through California SB1 funds. This furthers the RTP and SCS strategy to reduce GHG and VMT. This past year and the next will continue to be focused on sustainable funding initiative that the EITPO committee has been supporting and you have heard a lot about. We will continue stakeholder and decision-making outreach on new mechanisms for the federal, state, and local shares. We'll develop public and stakeholder outreach materials as well and investigate congestion management in our two key recreation corridors. So that's on the West Shore 89 and the East Shore SR 28. Next slide. So with that, I am happy to answer any questions. We are seeking a recommendation of approval today to the TMPO.
Okay, thank you, Michelle, very much. I'm assuming that the only changes that were made then were to the charts. There were no changes to the narrative in the report.
No, not from the posted staff summary. Okay. That errata that you see probably is for our next item, if that's what you might be thinking about.
Okay. I just noticed, Michelle, just a clerical thing on table 7. And I noticed that I went online to see the changes that were made to each of these charts. There's some duplicate language at the bottom. It says toll credits are not a form of cash or revenue, but are in lieu of local matching funds. And then it says in lieu of local matching funds again. Just a cleanup item.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Madam Chair, for pointing that out.
Not a problem. Okay, so we'll call on those people, members of the committee, who are actually attending the meeting in person. Barbara, Bud, do you have any comments or questions regarding the OWP? And I don't know if Cindy has arrived yet, but if she
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have.
No. Okay.
And I don't have any questions other than to let you know the TTC did approve this at our May 4th meeting.
Okay, all right, good to know. Thank you so much. Bud, Barbara?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay.
No questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Any member of the committee who is joining us virtually, does anyone have a comment? I don't see any hands raised. Alexis is shaking her head. Okay. Vince, no questions. Okay. All right. Then we will move on to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Who's monitoring this for us? Maria, are you?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Maria. We have one hand raised.
Steve
Teixeira.
Aha, I knew it. Okay.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Steve Teixeira. I'm chair of the South Shore Transportation Management Association Board of Directors and planning consultant for the Truckee North Tahoe Transportation Management Association. I just wanted to thank Michelle and all of the members of the TRPA transportation staff for their support for both TMAs and for the cooperation that we have and the partnership we have as outlined principally in this document in Work Element 103. Staff frequently attends our meetings, both on the North and South Shore, and provides important guidance and help for us. So we really appreciate that. And obviously, we want to encourage the committee this morning to take affirmative action on this document, the 22-23 TRPA Transportation Overall Work Program. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Steve. I didn't see anybody at the podium. So I assume, Maria, there's no one in person from the public wishing to comment on this item?
There are no more hands raised or anyone in the audience, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment. If there are no further comments or questions from members of the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend that the Governing Board adopt the TMPO Resolution 2022-. As contained in Attachment A, to approve the FY 2023 OWP as noted in Exhibit 1 here too.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Thank you. Was that Cindy?
Yes.
Thank you, Cindy. All right, any discussion? Seeing none. Maria, will you please call the roll?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Terrific. Thank you so much. All right. So that brings us to agenda item number 5, a recommendation to adopt the 2023 Active Transportation Program, the ATP, Metropolitan Planning Organization guidelines. Information on this item can be found on page 213 of your governing board packet. Michelle?
Yes, good morning again, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Michelle Glickert, I am the Principal Transportation Planner at TRPA. And as mentioned, staff is seeking your approval for the 2023 Active Transportation Plan, Metropolitan Planning Organization guidelines. That might have been even a bigger mouthful than the last one. This is should be a pretty short item. I'm going to provide you some background on the program and summary of the guideline updates that we've made. Next slide. Active transportation was created to encourage just that. The active transportation program encourages things such as biking and walking. It can also include physical projects like the one in the image here on your screen. That is El Tahoe Boulevard Complete Street. It also includes programs like Safe Routes to School, which actually this is one of those too. California Transportation Commission, also known as the Commission, administers the program. And so every 2 years, they include 4 years of funding. Each cycle is also an opportunity to update the guidelines. 50% of the funds are for the state's competitive process administered through the commission. Funding distribution for MPOs makes up 40%. Utilizing a competitive process, which is what we're here to talk about today. And 10% is all allocated to small urban and rural areas, also administered through the commission. Next slide. So TMPO's distribution equates to $1.1 million for the next 4 years, and it's the MPO's responsibility to award funding to active transportation projects within the California side of the region. A minimum of those funds, 25% of those funds, must benefit disadvantaged communities per the state guidelines. As done in the past, we propose to hold a competitive selection process. This will be administered through the Tahoe Regional Grant Program. ATP funding is just one of the sources we actually fold into that grant program. With ATP, an MPO has the option to use the state's guidelines or submit regional guidelines that reflect the state's guidance, yet can be tailored to better fit our needs. TMPO's ATP guideline update does differ slightly from the state's. The main difference is the identified criteria for disadvantaged communities. Three modifications in total were made to the MPO guidelines. We updated the disadvantaged community criteria. We're expanding the typical criteria from median household income and food assistance participation. We'll be now adding in single parenthood, education attainment, for example. This is all based on the development of the latest Caltrans Active Transportation Plan, which we've also been involved in. The additional criteria expanded the areas considered to be in a disadvantaged community, therefore allowing more applicants to apply for the funding. We updated guidelines to reflect new state guidance. Applicants are no longer required to apply for the statewide competitive cycle, to be eligible for the MPO funds, less strings for them, which has been really great. Statewide submitted applications now receiving funds may downscope or provide a scalability to fit available MPO funds. Ours are often a lot less than the statewide competition. Since the commission allocates and approves the ATP funds, the MPO guidelines must be approved by the commission prior to holding our regional grant competitive call. Guidelines were sent to the commission on the 13th of this month as required. And since the release of the staff report, we have received a few comments from the commission to revise the guidelines. That is noted in the errata that was distributed yesterday. Eligibility of funds is actually set by the state. So we were corrected, and a project does not have to be within a disadvantaged community to apply. So we corrected that in the guidelines. Staff, however, in response to this, wanting to encourage projects that benefit disadvantaged communities, have now edited our evaluation and scoring criteria to include additional points for projects that are in a disadvantaged community. Next slide. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have today.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Let's go to our committee members who are attending the meeting in person. Cindy, Bud, Barbara, any questions?
I do. This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
I just wanted to know what the criteria for the disability is. How is that laid out, if you can tell me? Or is there criteria from the federal government that tells you what it is?
For so there are several. Do you mean to assess it? If someone is disabled, is that the question? Sorry.
Well, if you want to go back
to
the other previous slide where it talks about it.
Disadvantaged.
I just wondered what it says disadvantaged communities definition.
Sure.
I don't know what that is. So
yeah. So disadvantaged community is, in our case, we get to set the criteria. So it's not really a definition. Forgive me. That was probably a little misleading. The criteria is made up of several things. Like I had mentioned, it can include, let me go to the specifics just so we can get your question answered a little bit more here. So it includes such things as children within, who receive free and reduced lunches. I've got to get to my notes. I'm never good at winging it. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So we generally in the past have used things such as household income, food and assistance participation, and now we're going to be adding a few more criteria. All of these criteria then make up what a disadvantaged community is considered. So single parent households, education attainment will now be included. All of those, so we have six criteria, and they only have to meet three of those. We then actually produce a map for applicants so they can see exactly where those disadvantaged communities areas reside. And that is working through the state, like I had mentioned, through their active transportation plan. So those six criteria make up what a disadvantaged community is to be considered. Does that help, Barbara?
Yes, it does. Yeah. But if you could send me, just for
sure,
my application,
absolutely.
I just want to know if you could send it to me, just what your criteria is and what you're looking
absolutely.
At.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for the presentation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Cindy, Bud, any questions?
No? I have no questions.
I have no questions either. Thank you.
No hands raised from the members who are joining us virtually. Michelle, I had a quick question on page 224 under oversight and implementation requirements, paragraph 3. It says the TMPO will maintain a contingency list with the intent to fund projects should a program project be completed for less or is unable to meet requirements. At what point is a project deemed not able to meet requirements of the program? If the recipient misses, two critical points in their timeline, what criteria is used?
Our projects do experience delays often. And when the county, we have recommended programming awards to a particular trail project per se, and maybe they have some difficulty obtaining materials, getting the environmental through, and those delays occur. What we try to do, because these funds do have a life cycle, and if these funds are going to expire, what we might do, and this is one of the things that we work with our partners closely on is tracking those projects. We then have an opportunity to reprogram that potentially to something else. And then we use those funds the next year to come back to that project so that we're just doing our best to really be strategic about those funds, not lose those funds. But sometimes our partners do experience delays in getting things kind of on the ground and through their own processes. One of the things I think is important to understand too is that although we recommend projects, the funds never actually come. Once we recommend a project, the funds aren't actually here at TRPA. So our applicants then work directly with the state to receive those funds. And that's when, you know, we're staying in the loop and tracking the funds and making sure they're used on the projects as specified and when. So it's really a more of a management tool. Does that help, Geraldine?
No, that's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. All right. Well, we'll now go to public comment on this item. And if any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any member participating in person can approach the podium. Mari, I assume nobody has. There's a gentleman sitting in the front row. Is that Nick Haven? Hey, Nick, good morning.
Madam Chair, we have no one in the audience and no hands raised to make
public comment. No hands raised. Okay, you're making our job very easy. In that case, we'll go ahead and close public comment. If there are no further comments or questions by the committee, we'll entertain a motion to recommend Governing Board adoption of TMPO Resolution 2022-Dash for the 2023 ATP MPO guidelines as contained in Attachment A. Do we have a motion?
So moved. This is Barbara Sagaski.
Thank you, Barbara. We have a motion. Any comments on the question? Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski? Yes. Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Aldean?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. All right, that brings us to agenda item number 6, briefing on fiscal year 2022-2023 annual budget. Michelle, thank you, by the way, for your excellent presentation. I appreciate that. This is an information-only item with no committee action. Chris?
Thank you. For the record again, Chris Kyler, Finance Director. First, let me lay out the intent for today, as I will be bringing back the detailed budget for your approval next month in June. What we want to make sure we get today is your feedback and your whether or not you're happy with the process that we're following and the assumptions that we've made and things like that. So what I boil down today is some of the things I think that are the most critical aspects of developing our detailed budget for next year. With that, could I have the first chart, please? So here's kind of the basis for the calculation. Some of the funding, like our state contributions, we know. Nevada's in the second year of biennium next year, and we know what our California budget is, and it may revise. Other areas, like the fee areas, we have to project, and we've made some reasonable projections there, and I'm going to talk about some of those as we come up. Overall, I'm expecting revenue to go up because of the additional influx of LTRA funds and some other AIS funding coming in. The general fund isn't going up, but some of that fund-driven stuff will be going up. A lot of that work is contracted out. We're acting as a fiscal agent, so it doesn't necessarily translate into TRPA headcount or anything like that. But we will be adding some heads to manage that money and make sure that it's used properly. We do zero-base the labor cost and the contracts. So we start every year with what's our headcount and what are the people going to be working on. And we start these budgets every year with a list of specific list of contracts. And if we have time at the end, I'll show you the larger contracts that are in that budget. The other expenses tend to be pretty small. They're only about 10 to 15% of the budget. We kind of just look at actuals and extrapolate that on. If I could have the next chart, please. I showed this chart last month, only in slightly different order and wording. By far, our biggest concern looking forward is inflation. We do not receive inflation adjustments to our state allocations. nor do we receive additional funding for employee pay. So we don't get additional funding from either state to give our employees the same pay raises that the state employees get. But we're working on that, and we'll make that a part of our budget ask for the next cycle, and would appreciate any support we could get for that. I am going to talk a little bit more about pay in a little bit. Planning fees, as I indicated earlier in the financial report, we will exceed the budget for this fiscal year, and we feel comfortable in projecting next fiscal year at about the same level. There are some concerns. We'll keep an eye on that. Certainly, there's a lot of talk right now about a recession, but at least on the residential side, a lot of our applicants are not overly exposed to recession, shall we say. And on the commercial side, a lot of projects that have been moribund for several years are now showing signs of life and are starting to come back into play. So there may be, we've been holding conversations with those people, there may or may not be a need to update those permits. We did have a significant reduction in our A&O rate. This is due to reduced carryover from prior years. On the one hand, this is great news because it means our grant funds will go much farther. On the other hand, it means there's less money that we can bill to those grants from the general fund, but that's all been incorporated. If I can go to the next chart, please. These next two charts may be a little bit hard to read on the screen. These are charts that we used in a meeting we had a couple weeks ago with the Nevada budget staff. We've been struggling to get our comp levels up to that 50th average number by categories. What this chart shows on the bar chart is our four planning categories that constitute the core of the agency. And the top bar is where the median at the middle point of those pay ranges are with the comp study, and the lower bar is where we are. And you can see we're behind on all those, and the gap is pretty significant, and especially at the lower levels. So this continues to be a problem, and it's actually worse at the lower levels, like I said. The higher level is the principal planner, and that's really the top people in the operations of the agency. These are the program managers like Dennis and Michelle and people like that. If I can go to the next chart, please. Housing, too, is a problem. So this is just kind of the local housing market, and you can see that housing appears significantly higher than in the surrounding communities by about a 50% higher level. And that's not a surprise to anybody here, but these are both the salary and the housing cost are a real inhibitor to being able to recruit and retain talent for the agency. I can go to the next chart, please. You're never going to be able to read this chart online because it's too fine. Oh, I'm sorry. This chart is when we do an inflation adjustment to planning fees every year. Based on an index, a CPI index that we get from Bureau of Labor Statistics. If you recall, last year we changed from being the San Francisco Bay Area to just the West Region. The West Region is coming in at 8.3%, so that's an April-to-April comparison. So that's what we're going to assume for the budget. One idea we might consider, and I don't know that we're really sold on this yet, is we normally implement the increase in fees at the end of January. We did that because that was kind of a slow time, so it seemed like a good time to do a fee increase. But we might consider accelerating that and moving the new fee schedule up earlier. Like I said, we're not quite ready to propose that yet, but we're kicking that idea around. We can't do it immediately because we need to work with the local jurisdictions, because when we change our fees, that has to change their fees too. So there needs to be at least 3 or 4 months in there to coordinate with the different counties and make sure that everybody's on board and everybody's going the same direction. Could I have the next chart, please? This is the one that's the eye chart. But basically what it does is it looks across the last 5 years in terms of the actuals and planning fees. And what's going on is right now for the current fiscal year, we actually had a budget of about $2.2 million. And it's pretty clear that we're going to come in around $2.5 million. So when we extrapolate that out, we think that we can justify easily an assumption of $2.5 million in planning fees for next year. And that's a number prior to any inflation adjustment. So it would actually be a little bit higher than that. So it reflects reality. We are seeing a little bit of indication that some of the leading indicators like land capability analysis are starting to tail off, but we're still into the heart of the planning activity of people filing applications and dealing with that. And I can assure you that the current planning staff is buried and running as fast as they can right now. So I think that's entirely justified. Okay, can we go to the next chart, please? And this is kind of the critical chart, and it kind of addresses a lot of the major issues that we're talking about in putting this budget together. We are looking at a significant shortfall in the general fund. At this point of the budget development, I'm not surprised by that because right now we have all the asks in and we haven't gotten all the fixes in. But it's time to start making some difficult decisions, and we'd like to have some of your input on those. The first one I want to tee up for you is we're almost certain that finish the year with excess funds. And so we just think it makes sense then to roll those funds into next year and to use them to balance the budget. This is consistent with a lot of other government entities do. We don't actually do encumbrances here, but most government entities do use encumbrances, and that is part of that same philosophy of carrying those costs forward. My crystal ball isn't perfectly clear, so I can't give you an exact number of what I think that carryover would be for next year, but I think it's going to be at least $300,000. The time lag on paying contract expenses is the big question mark in our mind, because we'll be paying 2022, fiscal year 22 contracts through the end of August and possibly later. That's the only reason why I can't give you a better indication of what that number is. But we do think there will be funds there, and we do think that it's appropriate to use those funds to cover next year's expenses. A lot of those funds are becoming because we're having trouble filling those slots. And some of the issues are is operationally that the contracts are running behind, where we're just not doing the work as much as we do. Not really a good thing. I mean, we're not trying to run a profit here. So when we run a surplus, it means we're falling behind on our work program. And we need to redouble our efforts to make sure we meet that work program. So using that money next year then keeps us from having to reduce funds for other elements of the work program and next fiscal year. The next topic I'd like to bring up is we will show some negatives on the financial statements. The remodeling cost is all funded by the bond stuff. We thought we were going to be able to get all the work done this year. We're not. The lobby is getting in pretty good shape, and I can show you that after the meeting if you want to go take a look at it. But the roof work, we're now targeting for the July-August timeframe, and the retaining wall will also probably be later in fiscal year 23. That's not really a financial issue because the money comes from the bonds, but it will show up on the financial statements as a negative. In a somewhat similar vein, when we're looking at the shoreline fund, we're looking at a situation next year where we're expecting expenses to exceed the revenues. And this is on the buoy side. This is not on the planning side. So this isn't when people apply for a new pier or a new buoy. The shoreline fund does have a balance in it. It has right now about $500,000 in it, plus whatever the final results are from this fiscal year. So even though we're looking at a deficit there, we'd like to go ahead and dip into that fund balance and cover those costs. Entirely appropriate. Those are all legitimate shoreline fund costs, and it's easily covered by the fund balance, so it just doesn't make sense to do a transfer from our general fund into the shoreline fund when the money's already there to cover these expenses. So that's what I'm proposing that we do with the shoreline fund. And then finally, as I talked earlier, we're thinking about whether or not we accelerate the implementation of the inflation adjustment on the planning fees for next year. Like I said, we usually do that in January because it's kind of a slow time, but when we start looking at the calendarization of our planning fees as they've been coming in and we find that trough is getting filled up and the slow time isn't all that slow anymore. It just keeps going time and time again. I don't think we could do that any earlier than October 1st or November 1st, but it's an option on the table and it might make a difference of $25,000, $50,000 or something like that. Some of the feedback we're getting from the consultants is that their clients aren't that much concerned about the fees as they are about getting their permits in a timely basis. So there's a certain degree of price insensitivity in there. They really want the permit more than saving money on the fees. So that might be a good argument for doing this. Obviously, not everybody's in that same position, but we are getting that kind of a feedback. And at this point, I would like to pause before we go any further and ask the committee if you're satisfied with this approach to developing the budget for next year.
Hey, Chris, thank you. Before we open it up to discussing your recommendations, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, a lot of people that I interface with are actually ordering equipment in advance and having it stored, anticipating that due to the inflationary times in which we live, that the price of these goods will only increase exponentially going forward. And I think probably to a large extent, a lot of the applicants are probably trying to avoid the future inflated cost of goods and will probably continue to apply for permits to get the work done, you know, to avoid any additional inflationary increases. So I think that's a reasonable assumption. I had a quick question on the CPI adjustment. The Western region, how do you distinguish that from Western cities of greater than 2.5 or Western cities less than 2.5 million or the Mountain or Pacific or the San Francisco, Oakland, Hayward area? I mean, I would think that you'd take an average of those and, you know, and that would be the CPI, but obviously the average of all of those CPIs is 7.86. So I'm just curious, how do you define the Western region geographically?
Yeah, this is all BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, and their categorizations. The Western region is all encompassing and includes all the ones that are inside of there. But I only cherry picked a few of those in our immediate area to show you the comps. There's a much larger group of individual locations and stuff that fit in there. The Pacific States one at the bottom, for example, only includes California and Oregon, whereas Western States is pretty much everything from Colorado west. So the others are subsets to that. I really put it on there just to illustrate that we've been using in the past San Francisco. And for some bizarre reason, the San Francisco CPI is only going up by like 5%. And I've been watching this all year, and it barely moves compared to everybody else in the entire country, right? Right. And the whole nation is at 8.5, 8.6, Western regions at 8.3. And I guess the answer is San Francisco prices were so high to begin with, there's no room to go up or something like that.
So is it fair to say that if you, a compilation of all of those increases, the average is 8.3?
Yeah, but it adds more than the individual regions that are listed on that chart.
Right. Well, I'm saying if you took all of them and you took an average, the 8.3 right. represented well, that average?
I didn't take an average. Bureau of Labor Statistics took an average.
Okay. And we assume they're correct. Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. I have no further questions. Before we go to the issue of your budget closure ideas, are there any questions regarding the presentation? And I'll defer to the ladies and gentlemen who are in the meeting room first. Bud, Barbara, Cindy, any questions on the presentation materials?
I do, Madam Chair. This is Barbara Sagaski.
Yes.
And thank you, Chris. It was really a good report. I really appreciate all your hard work, and I know that it takes a lot. Since you brought up buoys, my favorite subject, not. Anyway, my question is, do we have a limitation on the buoys? Is it limited? Because I know we get that income in. And do we have a limit on the permits that are allowed per year altogether? Is there a limit on either one? Thank you.
You want to go ahead then?
Sure. The John Marshall, the answer is yes. So we have a limit on the number of buoys that we allocate per year and on the total number of moorings that are
per
on the
year?
Lake. Yes.
You don't have a total overall?
No, we do have a total overall, okay. And we have an annual distribution.
Can you tell me what that is?
I cannot.
Okay.
But we can get you those numbers.
And then the permits for the docks, do we have anything?
Yes. So
there's
those
a
are the same thing,
well.
Both
okay.
annual and
yearly.
Total.
Okay. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
There's actually a lottery for the peers that we run every year.
No problem.
What I'm looking for is the total, how
yeah.
many we allow, how many are out there.
I want to say the number is 12, but I'll bring that back to you next month
Thank
when
you.
We do the final budget.
Okay.
Okay. Cindy, Bud, any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Thank you. And any member of the committee who's attending the meeting virtually, I don't see any hands raised. Oh, there is a hand raised. Hey, we have two hands raised. Okay, let's start with Alexis first. Alexis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a point that, you know, we really need to figure out how to pay our staff appropriately. When I was an assistant planner at the city of Sparks in 2005, right after college, I made $50,000 a year. So we definitely need to figure out how to keep those staff. And I'm very excited about the potential to support them if we raise planning fees in an appropriate way. Thank you.
Thank you. Vince?
Yeah, I'm a little bit new to public governance, so I'm not sure if these things are done, but we have a surplus. We might be going into a recession, so raising salaries a ton might be a problem down the line, but we do have money. I don't know if it's possible to bonus people to help make up for some of the difference if that's done in a public setting. And the other question is whether it's possible to tag our fees, tie them to inflation so that every year they just go up unless there's a specific reason to raise them an additional amount. Then we don't have to consider it. We don't have to worry about running into busy times and doing it in slow times. So again, I don't know how things are done in the public setting. I'm just curious if either of those are options.
Okay, let me address the second question first, which is we had during the earlier recession, like the 2007, we'd suspended doing fee increases on an annual basis, but we restarted doing that a few years ago where we do a regular inflation adjustment. The reason it's not automatic is because a board member who strongly resembles the chair of this committee insisted that it should come back to the board periodically just to make sure that we were doing it.
I must have a doppelganger, Chris.
On the salary side, I would say we haven't firmly settled on the budget numbers we're going to bring to you next month, but we were planning on doing, we're trying to get to a 5% review for people, a 5% uplift for this year. That would not be peanut butter. That would be performance-based and spread among staff. We have had some money for a bonus-type program based on achievements and stuff like that, and we intend to continue some of that at a smaller level because of the bottom line is we've tried that approach of using one-time bonus period instead of pay raises, but it's not terribly popular with staff because they recognize that it's not a permanent increase and they're still subject to the depredations of inflation. But there will be a little bit of bonus money in there as well, tied to achieving objectives, and especially in the areas of process improvements and productivity gains.
Okay, thank you. That's, and Chris, I'm assuming that some of the planners, especially the assistant and associate planners, would be eligible for achievable housing if we can ever get it built, right?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Well, I'm assuming that some of these lower paid planners would be eligible for the achievable housing that we're attempting to construct in the basin, because you had mentioned housing costs being a limiting factor.
Yes, it varies county by county, but I think achievable would, but I would suggest at the next meeting, next committee meeting, you can pose that to Karen, who probably knows the answer off the top of her head.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Shelley, if I could, I can tell you that yesterday at our Board of Supervisors meeting, we had a long discussion on achievable, and our recommendation to our staff is to remove the 245% cap because we did do a thorough exam within the basin of an entry-level utility worker married to a school teacher or nurse partners, and that combined income exceeded the 245% AMI that we have currently had as a cap within the basin. I think most jurisdictions have adopted. So at least as the Placer County Board, we are recommending removing an income cap, but making the requirement they must be employed locally with a local employer within the basin and meet those criteria as the restriction. Just to let you know that that 245 sounds like a lot, but when you look at what AMI is and our basis, it we quickly exceed that even with our lower paid staff.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate that. Okay, if there are no further questions by members of the committee, we'll move back to the budget closure ideas, that part of Chris's presentation, having to do with rolling excess funds into the new fiscal year and then dipping into to the excess shoreline funds to cover shoreline costs in the same new fiscal year. Did I omit anything, Chris? Are those the two items you wanted us to give you direction on?
Yes, those are the key two items for closing the budget.
Okay. Any comments by members of the committee? Is there a consensus that this is a good idea? Everyone's nodding their head. I can't see the people around the dais, but...
We're nodding too.
We're nodding, yes.
That's good. So, as long as you're not nodding off. Okay. Okay, Chris, so I think you have your direction. I think the committee is supportive of what you're recommending.
Yeah, we are a little tight on time, but if I could, the next two charts kind of summarize the contracts over $100,000. Just to give you an idea of where the big spend is on this. The first chart shows general fund and fees. And you can see the biggest part is our annual monitoring contracts with the universities. Those are huge. We do spend a fair amount of money continuing to build out our technical resources like the LT Info platform and things like that. If you go, and the project review money is the outside sourcing to help the current planning crew in dealing with that record level of activity. The next chart, please, shows the grants, and the main thing on here you might want to take a look at is those first three line items are the Tahoe Keys. This is all grant funded, but we're spending a lot of money on that project and the monitoring plan for that. We also spend a lot of money on AIS in general, and this chart has some other AIS expenditures on there, like the TRCD contract for the prevention program, which is essential. With that, I would close this item out and move on to the next one.
Okay, all right. Before we move on to a public comment on this item, again, this is not an action item, but we need to entertain public comment. Any other questions or comments by the committee? Okay, hearing none, we will now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Maria?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised and no one in the audience for public comment.
Okay, thank you so much. Then we'll close public comment. And if there are no further comments by members of the committee, we will move on to agenda item number 7, upcoming topics. And we're running a little late. So, Chris, is there anything to advise us of with respect to
be really fast. I'm coming back next month with the final budget, and depending on decisions the board makes later today, there may be some issues around the executive director position.
All right. Yes, I noticed that wasn't a reference to that in the presentation, but obviously that's something to consider. So if there are no questions or recommendations for future agenda items from members of the committee, we will go to our public comment period on this item. Again, if any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Maria?
Madam Chair, there is no public comment on this item.
Okay. All right. Nobody's swarming the podium. In that case, we will close public comment and move on to agenda item number 8, which is committee member comments. Any member of the committee have any further comments before we adjourn? Okay. Lots of heads. All right. Moving back and forth. All right. In that case, we will move on to our final matter of business, which is our general public interest comment period. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee at this time, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you'll be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Maria? Any final public comments?
Madam Chair, there is no final public comment.
Okay, thank you. In that case, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Alexis. We have a motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Joanne, I'm assuming that we will still take a 5 to 10 minute break between now and the time that the Local Government and Housing Committee convenes.
Indeed, that's fine, Shelley. Let's take, let's start local government at 9:40.
9:40. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.